A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gone. 13th play of this drive. Mills. Good protection underneath. Touchdown, Texans. Quatoriano with a score and a fantastic drive put together by Davis Mills. Touchdown.
Is the city of Houston ready for a white backup quarterback?
I think so. I think we're ready.
I just wanted to ask you the question to open the show.
I'm pretty sure we're ready.
By the way, I think that's been the case for the entirety of the Houston Texans' existence. But Davis Mills, Mills Mafia, oh boy, they're strutting around today. And you know who else is strutting around? And I want to give him a hearty congratulations as we're here at the Hunters Extravaganza at NRG Center. Joe, congratulations on your Super Bowl win. This is huge for your Chicago Bears. It's huge. The preseason opener without Caleb Williams.
Yeah, without him.
And all the other good players on the Bears.
They got the dub.
They beat the eventual Super Bowl champions in the first game of the year. Congratulations,
look,
Joe.
Look,
you need those small victories.
Small victories. It's a three-game series.
Very small victory.
The Bears took week one, took the first preseason game. We'll see how week two goes. And then, you know, the when we get to the Super Bowl.
The real Super Bowl, okay.
And we know it's a three-game series here, okay, for 2024. I'm just shout-out to the man upstairs that ended that game early.
Yeah, that was thankful. So I didn't watch the game last night. I went to a Syracuse alumni party where we were sending off Houston area students. Yeah, I went to a great school. Yeah, it was fancy.
It was a pretty good picture you took.
I didn't take that one, but thank you. I looked, as I always do, impeccably dressed. And we were sending off some kids from the Houston area off to Syracuse University, the greatest school in all of the land. So I didn't watch the game live. I got home, and I sat down, and I thought to myself, do I really want to watch a preseason game tonight? And I kept on staring, and then eventually I looked at my phone, and the next thing I know, after an hour on Instagram, I realized, oh, wait, I'm going to go to bed. So I woke up this morning and watched the game, and I will say, the first couple of drives of the game, there were a couple of things to be impressed by. I really did think Davis Mills played well in this game. I thought that Cam Akers, when he eventually came into the game, looked really good. I saw that after the game and then today at his press conference that D'Amico Ryans complimented the two interior offensive linemen who are starters for this team on how they played, Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs. The offense looked better than it has all training camp with those first two drives. Texas scored a touchdown. They get a field goal on the next one. And safety Kalen Bullock played pretty well too.
Yeah, those are guys who were there for me. Also, I think Agumba Walleye played pretty good as well as a running back. You know, he's obviously been such a special teams focus for the Houston Texans, you know, last year and what the year before, that he showed some chops as well in the backfield. So he just more than solidified his spot on the roster.
Yeah.
But also, if he was out there taking carries, just watch him, like, hey, you know what? This guy could hang for a little bit. But Cam Akers, he did stand out. Like,
yeah, he played pretty well.
Yeah, the touchdown was big time busted coverage, but he looked good coming off a second torn Achilles. You have no idea what a guy like that is going to look like, if they're going to be mobile or not.
And here's the thing. He might not even make the team. He might not even make the team.
He might not. It wouldn't. Yeah, because you have Agumba Walleye. You have two rookies that could be practice squad guys if you want. But he wouldn't shock me if he's a little bit of a back-and-forth practice squad guy himself.
This is why I struggle with talking about preseason games. Because, look, it was a game. We all watched it. The diehard Texans fans out there, they want to hear what we saw in that game. And we did see some things in that game. And Cam Akers did play really well. Here's the thing about Cam Akers, though. Not a guy who you're looking to play on special teams, where Agumba Walleye, who came in first as running back, is somebody that actually can do that. Like, all Cam Akers did last night might be completely a waste of time. It's a frustrating thing about the preseason as we get a roster cut down from close to 100 guys to 53 by the end of it. I did think it was interesting that Cam Akers was in the game before Jawar Jordan, who was the fifth-round rookie running back selected by the Texans out of Louisville in this year's past draft, and Jordan didn't do much with his opportunities, but there you go, guys.
And I think the other running back, too, I can't remember his name, he also took carries before Jawar Jordan in last night's game.
No. Oh, J.J. Taylor.
Yes.
J.J. Yeah. Taylor, yeah.
So that's, you know.
J.J. Taylor's he's one of those waterbug kind of running backs. Again, like, who knows?
Honestly, almost the most interesting part of the game, it happened before. You know, the starters don't play, besides Scruggs and Kenyon Green, which makes sense. They both need the reps, specifically Kenyon Green. But Scruggs does as well because he didn't play that much at center last year. But when I think it was Aaron Wilson first reported that Kamari Lassiter wasn't playing in yesterday's game, I was like, oh, this might be the most interesting thing that happens in this one because it pretty much signifies that he's your starting cornerback.
Yeah, he's
opposite of Derek Stingley Jr., and that's not going to change.
I think that was a lock already. I feel like now that we've seen it in a preseason game where he's not even playing, I think that also is like the cherry on top of all the evidence that we've seen in training camp. But yeah, Kamari Lassiter is your number two corner. The star of the night. I do want to give him his props because I have gone after him in the same way that you have gone after Blair Henley. Davis Mills, there was another play that he made. I didn't know he was capable of doing this. Sean, if we could play this highlight, this was a Davis Mills escape from the rush with a little spin move. He made a guy look silly, and then he throws it downfield to Ben Skowronek, the great white hope at wide receiver.
Congratulations to him. Well-deserved. And I know D'Amico Ryans is so excited the Texans are here and that he's here to witness it. Good move here by Davis Mills. Buys some time, and he's able to find a receiver down to the 40. That's Skowronek.
You know, Joe Buck undersold that.
I think he really undersold it.
Does Joe Buck hate the Texans like he hates the Astros? 713-780-3776. I'm being sarcastic. That was a hell of a play by Mills.
My note is that Davis Mills probably got that guy cut because if you're getting embarrassed like that on a field that you might not be making the 53-man roster. But I was like, all right, Davis, okay. Like, you know what? He's probably getting close to being a next, like, Chase Daniel-type quarterback. Probably make...
That is such an overstatement.
$50 million.
That is such an overstatement, Jeff. Come on.
Probably to make $50 to $80 million.
No, he's not.
As a backup quarterback.
Based off of last night's game.
No, and the other games, too.
No.
But Chase Daniel made $43 million as a backup quarterback.
Cool.
Davis Mills is going to be a backup quarterback in this league for a very long time.
Well, but based off of what?
I think his other starts, he's competent. Last night showed it. He's a competent
quarterback. Joe, he is a statue. No, stop. He had a couple of nice moments.
No, I just think he's a long-term backup quarterback in the NFL.
He's not going to earn $50 million.
Backup quarterbacks make a lot of money.
If he earns $50 million, $50 million, Joe.
Want to make a wager?
I honestly don't even want to entertain this conversation. I guess we could make a wager.
No,
when are we going to pay off on this? Like 10 years from now?
I know, that's the problem. Like 10 years is way too far.
You're
going to
Venmo
away.
Me like whatever inflation is. So $20 now is like $100 then?
$100 only. Man, you might be lucky. But he was good last night.
He was good last night. He deserves credit. And, you know, these games are interesting from this perspective. As someone who loves football more than anything, who played it as best he could and really wish he could have played it at a higher level, I have a great respect for the guys who actually do make it here. But it is tough to see the guys who struggle because the guys, when they struggle, and you know that it's not going to go much longer for them. That's tough. So for the Texans, there were a couple of guys on that front, specifically Jamal Hill, number 56, who's playing linebacker. Oh, boy, he had a rough day. And also, and maybe this is just because Colin Johnson, a Texas wide receiver from the past, is so big. But Colin Johnson made a bunch of Texans defensive backs look pretty bad.
Yeah, when Joe Buck is watching him make a catch on the right sideline and he starts talking about how Andre Johnson used to make catches like that, you know it's a bad day for the corner.
Yeah.
Because that's what Buck was saying when he made the one where he jumped up in the air and grabbed it. He was impressive himself, but yeah, the corner's just, man, I don't know if it was just the height or the cornerback, the bottom of the depth chart is not very good.
They are thin at corner, and I still feel like going after a veteran corner should be a possibility for the Texans. Mike Ford ain't it. Pride Jr., who was also up against Colin Johnson, I'm not sure he's the guy. after their first two corners, there is a serious void. But, again, it's just preseason game number one. It's good to see football back in our lives. I felt like it wasn't much of a football show because of all the interviews that they were doing. It was cool to see Andre Johnson interviewed first. Dwight Freeney, shout out to Syracuse again. Freeney getting interviewed in the middle of it. I mean, they interviewed every single Hall of Famer, but the back and forth between the interviews and the game was rather distracting, I thought. And as Joe said, it was rather merciful that this game ended in the middle of the third quarter due to rain. Kind of soft. No, like a little soft. I mean, I guess there's thunder and lightning, but they just canceled the game. I really wonder how bad it was out there. I know the field was starting to look bad. Guys were slipping and sliding all over the place as the rain started, but they stopped that game because of rain.
Yeah,
come on, this is football.
Maybe this is our solution. That, you know, we were talking about how much we hate preseason games yesterday. What if preseason games were only two quarters?
Yeah, I'd be game.
And the starters don't play, and it's just two quarters of football. That's it. Saves everyone time, saves everyone energy. We don't have to waste our time doing 3 hours of a football game. Only two quarters of football for preseason.
Personally, I would be cool with that. However, that's a selfish thing. That's a me thing. For the players that actually play, like, I do want to have them to get those opportunities
out
there.
That's true.
Just to be polite and to be kind, because my mother always tells me to do that. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join us on our Twitch. You can now watch us when we're on remote. How about that? Twitch.tv/ESPN975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We are at the Hunter's Extravaganza, jam-packed show for you today. We are going to bombard you with Andre Johnson highlights. We'll talk about what we're hoping for from You Say Kikuchi tonight, and a whole lot more coming up next. Yeah, let's start taking a look at Andre Johnson, going back down memory lane, some of our favorite highlights. It has to start with the Courtland Finnegan fight. He had a great interview that you need to hear from him about that fight with Courtland Finnegan, and it's something I did not know about. Who paid the fine for that? It is Gallant and George. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant at the Hunter's Extravaganza. Stick around.
I want to tell you about our friends at LaBerge Lake Charles. The sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles is your go-to betting spot for all of your favorite Texas teams. They've got the 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, 3 over-the-counter terminals, 22 slot machines. You got blackjack in there as well. It's always a good time when you go to the sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles. The food is awesome. The beers and the cocktails are there. You can also get Carbox, Crawford Bock, and a lot of their other selections on tap while you're there. The big screen at sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles is the closest seat to courtside that you can get. We'll be out there at the end of the month for 2 shows, getting ready for football season. And before you go, make sure you become a Penn Play Rewards member today to get rewards for your stay and enjoy perks while you play. Penn Play members can win up to $500 in Penn Play cash every week. If you're not a member, join today by downloading the Penn Play app or visit PennPlaySports.com/cover5. Must be 21 up. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Plan your next trip to LaBerge Casino Resort Lake Charles and download the Penn Play app to start earning rewards today.
ESPN 97.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza.
Second down and 7 for Rippon. Hangs in and finds his tight end. That's a catch and a fumble. Tommy Sweeney. And then able to get back on top of it
was Texans rookie safety Kalen Bullock, forcing a fumble last night. Third round pick out of USC. D'Amico Ryan singled him out today at the Texans press conference, talking about his play last night. And that was a nice play. He used his head. He also had a touchdown saving tackle on that drive a little bit later. But guys, he had a DJ Swearinger moment. And I love DJ Swearinger. We talked about him earlier this week as we were counting down to the start of the NFL season, 36 days away. And I told you about a time where, against the Oakland Raiders, he forced a fumble and started dancing while a play continued for a good 20 seconds after the fact. because Kareem Jackson returned it a very far way. He was out of the play. This was worse for Bullock because when Bullock forced the fumble, he started dancing. And the ball bounces underneath Kalen Bullock because there's a mad scrum as he is dancing. It goes right behind him. Joe is watching the replay right now.
Yeah,
Bullock had no idea that the ball bounced out from that pile. And, okay, the guys were supposed to recover it. But yeah. As he was celebrating and looking towards his own sideline, the ball rolls right behind him. Kalen, I hope this is a good time to learn that lesson in a preseason game, not a regular season game. But it was a nice play, and he looked pretty competent out there. He didn't make any mistakes. The touchdown that eventually happened on that drive, there was somebody on the right side of the Texans secondary. I'm not sure who it was. I don't know if it was MJ Stewart or their corner D'Angelo Ross, but somebody forgot their deep zone responsibility there, and it ultimately ended up with a Bears touchdown.
Yeah, I'm curious what his role is going to, what Bullock's role will develop into this year, especially now with Petrie mostly playing slot. You know, we're all still kind of hoping that they're going to spend some money and go get Justin Simmons or Quandre Diggs and really add to the safety room to put next to Jimmy Ward when the regular season gets here. Do you feel that there's a chance that he just works his way into the starting lineup, or is he more of a rotation guy from what you've seen so far in camp?
I think he might be best case scenario by the end of the year, as you said, the last thing, the rotation guy.
Yeah.
I feel like he could be somebody that they bring in third and long situations and stuff like that. I think his ability as a center fielder is good, and I thought last night he actually showed that he's got pretty good tackling angles. That was a thing that was held against him at USC. He wasn't somebody that was good at tackling, but nobody at USC was good at tackling.
Yeah, they're awful.
In his defense. So, Kalen Bullock looked good last night, as did Davis Mills. Someone texted in, Davis Mills looked like a future Hall of Famer last night, and I blame Joe George for that.
No. I say he's going to be a backup quarterback.
You say he's going to make $50 million, Joe.
That's how much Chase Daniel made, and he wasn't a good quarterback.
Do you think he's going to be a career backup? I feel like I don't know that he's going to stick around in the league. I don't. He had a good game last night, but last night, that's one of those games where I don't know how much I can really take seriously with it. Like Mills has graduated past playing in games like this and that. Like, he's going up against guys he's better than. But the problem is there is a limit. Okay, maybe he will stick around in the league for a while. But personally, I like quarterbacks that can scoot. Now, I will give Mills credit from this perspective. Mills does look a little bit more mobile than he has in years past last year. To the point where last year against the Titans with their offensive line so banged up, the reason they played Keenum is, I believe, because they did not think that Mills was going to be able to do anything behind that offensive line. So I will give him credit. He looks a little more mobile. He had that nice little spin to get away and throw that pass downfield to Skowronek. He had a nice scramble to the outside. Hall of Famer, no.
What do you think? Where do you put? You have three. You're three up and three down. Where's the kickoff fall? Because let me tell you.
It was a dud.
They were trying to gas that thing up so hard. Joe Buck, every time, he was like, we'll be back. But there's a kickoff next.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
There were more penalties than anything on it. There
was
like the false starts by the receiving team. It did seem like the Texans were more disciplined on that than the Bears were. The Bears were the team screwing it up. So credit to Frank Ross. Always a great special teams unit. But, yeah.
They kept getting 25, 26 to the 30-yard line. Mm-hmm. They were not. There was no breakout play. It may be like when the starters are out there and everything, it'll look different, your main special teams group. But as much as it's been hyped up this offseason, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, this is kind of dumb. I was like, this is not what I was hoping it was going to be. I was hoping it was going to bring back a new – like, I saw people tweeting before the game, like, if this really explodes the way they want it to, like, will there be an asterisk when someone passed Devin Hester for all-time kick return touchdowns? I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen. This is kind of not great.
It didn't look good to begin, but we will see what happens. So the Texans lose their preseason opener, a 24-0 season no longer possible.
23-1.
An undefeated preseason no longer possible. Very, very sad day. I'm kidding. It's good to see football back, but it's not real football. The real football this weekend is the Hall of Fame inductions that are going to take place. We will see Andre Johnson. He will speak last tomorrow as everyone is officially given their gold jackets. I saw a text from one of the top two fans of Paul Gallant as far as listeners go in Houston sports radio history. Ocho Texto and Stroh's fan I know are generally back and forth as far as that goes. Those are two people you should be following on Twitter. I'm biased. But Ocho texted this in, and it's the lyrics to a song called Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? I'm going to sing this, okay?
I'm ready.
I will do the laundry if you pay all the bills. Where is my John Wayne? Where is my prairie song? Where is my happy ending? Where have all the Cowboys gone. And Andre Johnson was a Cowboy during a game against the Tennessee Titans back in the day, dealing frontier justice to Courtland Finnegan. Here is how it was called on CBS with Dan Fouts trying his best to not love the fight.
And Ward leaning forward. Flags come down. Oh, there's punching now.
Yeah, Finnegan and Andre Johnson going after it. Finnegan was mad about the previous play. He took a shot right away at Andre Johnson, and now they're going to be tossing Andre Johnson out of the game for sure. He'll get the thumb because he connected on a couple of haymakers on Finnegan. Wouldn't be surprised if Finnegan doesn't get an early shower, too.
There are personal foul penalties against both teams. Personal foul, unnecessary roughness after the play, number 80 of the offense. Personal foul, unnecessary roughness, number 31 of the defense. Both of those players are ejected. It'll be Tennessee's ball at the end of the run.
And that's the right decision. Toss them both out because of this action right here. Finnegan gets the first shot, then gets his helmet knocked off. He takes off Johnson, and now Johnson is going to get a couple of good shots in there, or bad shots, if you will. And they're both gone, as well they should be.
That's my favorite part, is Fouts saying a couple of good shots. I mean bad shots. They should be out of the game. Like, you could tell Dan Fouts appreciated the punching that Andre Johnson did there. And I got to say, the NRG Stadium reaction to that moment, I think it was Reliance Stadium at the time. Guys, Andre Johnson was ejected. Cheering for Courtland Finnegan being ejected, yeah, understandable, but they were both ejected from the game. I felt like the cheers afterwards, because Finnegan got ejected too, were not great. But that is the moment we're all going to remember Andre Johnson for. It's a shame that we don't remember him for like a Super Bowl victory or playoff wins, but that moment right there where he showed, like, this is a wide receiver who doesn't speak, isn't a diva, and can kick your ass. We need more wide receivers like that.
Yeah, it's like an all-time football fight, too, because you just typically don't see both helmets come off, the big swings that are happening right there. It was a great fight. Like, Dan Fouts should have just gone into it.
One-sided fight. I don't know if it was a great fight.
Yeah, it was pretty one-sided, yeah. But it was entertaining. Like, you don't see things like that in football games. Normally, they keep their helmets on. There's a bunch of fake tough guys who get pulled apart from each other.
Shoving, mostly.
Yeah, shoving, mostly. Like, this was a full-out actual fight. And Dan Fouts, though, like, he should have just gone with it. Like, you got to start calling that thing like it's...
Oh, no. You got the suits of the shadowy league figures.
That's
They're
boring.
Gonna stop you.
That's boring. Just have some fun with it.
I think these days I wonder what would happen if Johnson would be suspended for a couple of games. But for all the kids out there, I mean, never get in a fight in a football field. But if you're going to get in a fight and you're going to throw a punch, rip the other guy's helmet off.
Yep.
So that way you won't break a bone in your hand.
It's one of, like, my things I've never understood about football players is when they throw punches just face to face and someone's got a helmet on. I'm like, why? That's a bad idea.
If you're gonna use your hands, you should use the palm of your hand. And what you should do to really mess somebody up, if you're getting into a squabble with somebody on a football field, is what you want to do. And I'm sorry I'm giving you some advice on how to be dirty, but as a dirty high school football player, what you do is you get your hand underneath and you want to shove up and you want to hit the underneath of their face mask, and their head will go back, and then you can get the second move in there. Okay, I'm teaching you mixed martial arts on the football field.
I mean, look, hey, you know, this is a good thing to be teaching. It is summertime, so you never know who's listening right now.
That's
true,
and I hope the children are listening. This is how you properly brawl with somebody.
There's going to be a fight at, like, a local high school football game this year.
Pugelon said it was okay.
We're going to get a phone call and be like, your radio hosts are encouraging fighting.
I like your Karen voice there. Andre Johnson spoke about the fight with Chancellor Johnson of KPRC. I think there's an actual bigger package that might have been on KPRC already or will be at some point, but shout out to Chancellor for putting this thing together. Chancellor asked Andre about the fight. This is the most we've ever gotten from Andre talking about this fight, because generally if you're on, like, a CBS broadcast or an ESPN broadcast, they don't want you to ask about it. But Chancellor, I mean, he knows that that's a iconic moment in Andre Johnson's history, and Andre shared some things that I had never heard before with Chancellor.
People think that's just something that just happened out of the blue. That had been going on for probably about like 3 or 4 years. He had been asking for it, though, because even his teammates knew. You know, his teammate even admitted in that, you know, that he karate chopped me under the pile, you know, tried to hit me in my throat one time. So It was a little stuff he did. He did it. It wasn't just me. It was other guys that he played against that he did stuff too. So I just wasn't a person who tolerated it.
When you get back to the locker room with your teammates, do you remember that conversation or what your guys were saying to you at the time?
Nobody really said much about it because they knew he was so the funniest thing was me and Vontae Leach, we went to the Rockets game that night.
Same night.
And I walked in and they gave me a standing ovation.
Well, I had heard that other receivers paid your fine. Is there any truth to that? That this was a league-wide thing and others donated to?
I don't know how that fine got paid. That's all I say.
I always loved Andre's laugh. It's deep. It's a good laugh. And that's pretty awesome that the other wide receivers around the NFL paid his fine for beating Cortland Finnegan's ass.
Cortland Finnegan was obnoxious, so I'm not surprised.
Hearing that he got karate chopped in the neck and that this was a 3 to 4 year buildup.
Yeah.
Totally understand why Andre took it all out.
Yeah, like, it probably, I'm surprised almost it took that long, like, hearing the story. Because, like you said, like, he never talks about this. Even, like, I think back to when it happened. I don't remember what the reaction was like either. When this happened, I'm sure there's a bunch of people who were like, this doesn't belong in football.
Oh, especially then. I mean, we're talking like, what was it, 08, I think?
Yeah. So, you know, it's cool to hear Andre go into detail about that story. And then and Chancellor, like you said, he did a great job. When Andre talks about the Rockets, when they go to the Rockets game, he gets a standing ovation. That's a great job by the fans.
They actually show the clip of the Rockets broadcast out there. And I think it was Bill Worrell. And I want to say that was Clyde Drexler who comes in at the end.
Probably.
Talking about how he was getting the standing ovation. That is well, awesome.
Well deserved.
It's pretty
well
cool. Deserved. It's pretty cool that he went to a Rockets game later that day and he got that standing ovation afterwards. So there you go. Andre Johnson, he's going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame officially on Saturday. We've got all sorts of highlights from his career. We'll talk about all the many things that he has done coming back into segments. So we'll have another Andre Johnson highlight for you next. And what's a fair expectation for... You say Kikuchi's first start with the Houston Astros tonight. It's Gallant and George. We are at the Hunters Extravaganza at NRG Center. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza.
Play clock is down to one. Here comes the rush. Schaub steps up. Schaub throwing on the move up in the air. It's caught by Johnson. Touchdown, Houston. What a play. A jump ball, Andre Johnson wins one-on-one matchups every time.
Play-by-play undersold that. So here's the context of that play, which is the greatest catch of Andre Johnson's career. 4th and 10 in week 2 against the Washington Redskins at the time. There's about 2:07 on the clock. The Texans had the 2 timeouts at the time, and it's 4th and 10. The Texans are maybe at Washington's 40-yard line or so. And Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson had a deep connection during these years where if you had either of them in fantasy football, you really appreciated them, while they might not have been appreciated in grander NFL circles. Schaub just throws it up. And in the end zone, Andre Johnson with Philip Buchanan are next to each other, jostling for position. And there's also another guy who steps in there too. I believe, is his name Doughty? Reed Doughty, the other safety there. And as Andre catches this ball, Doughty grabs his left arm. Mm. So he catches it, and Andre puts it in his right hand while Doughty's trying to rip it away from his left hand. So the Texans score a touchdown there. They tie it up. It goes to overtime. They win in overtime, and they go to 2-0 on the season in 2010. A season that did not go very well for the Texans, and obviously it led to some changes the next year. But 2011, of course, the first year that they made the playoffs, that's his best catch. I think given the situation and how he did it with a guy draped all over him, Look that one up if you've never seen it before. That is, I believe, the greatest highlight he ever had.
Yeah, Andre is one of those guys. It seemed like everything was catchable at all times. Like, there are certain wide receivers, like, you know, obviously Calvin Johnson. I put DeAndre Hopkins in the same category where there's certain guys that no matter if the ball is perfect, if it's misthrown, you throw it too high, too low, like, he's going to find a way to come down with it. I was watching that one this morning. It is a great play. Like Andre is – the touchdowns is what really – like, it's probably what hurt him to get in, you know, not as quick as he should have. I also think the Hall of Fame screwed up by not putting T.O. in as a first-ballot Hall of Famer. I think it's really challenging to put any wide receiver in as a first-ballot Hall of Famer when you say T.O.'s not.
The Hall of Fame process just needs a lot of reevaluating because T.O.'s in the Hall of Fame, but he didn't want to go to the Hall of Fame because of the way that it was handled. For those who don't know, it's essentially like this round table, and there's, I want to say, 29 to 32 different people that have a voice, and they all sit around, and they like basically make pitches, and sometimes certain pitches go better than others.
Yeah.
And with the first 2 years Andre was eligible, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And then this year, I mean, I was getting a little bit concerned that it might be a couple of years until Andre gets in. So it's really great to see him get in, especially considering he did have a couple of years with Matt Schaub, and Schaub was very good in those years. But for the most part, Andre Johnson was working with quarterbacks that were nowhere near his level of skill. A couple of texts from the 409. He was called Cortland Inigan. We were doing the Cortland Finnegan fight in the last segment because Andre beat the F out of him. That's a nice joke. And also, from the 409, I'm a huge Washington fan, and I was at that game where Andre made that catch. That play made me sick. Still remember it like it was yesterday. It was a hell of a catch, man.
You know, it's. I wonder for Andre, like, one other thing before the from his interview, he seems so nervous. When they asked him if he was nervous, you can kind of see it on his face, because he's like, I don't normally give speeches in front of a lot of people. But are you going to give him advice?
No, I'm going to give him advice.
Yes.
Short, simple, to the point. 3 minutes or less. 3 minutes, get out.
Kubiak's going to steal the show.
I think so. I think he'll do well. Steal the show, I don't know.
You don't think so? Like, give some of his like his old cliches and things that he loves to say?
No, because this isn't about cliches. Like, you have to tell a great story about the guy
that you're
introducing. And I think Kubiak's capable of it. But honestly, I don't know. I will wait to make any predictions about Gary Kubiak until I see it. But for Andre Johnson and for anybody who is speaking at anything ever, 3 minutes or less. I'm specifically talking to people who speak at weddings.
Ooh.
Guys and gals. Honestly, this is more of a girl's issue than it is a guy's issue. Get to the point. Script it out. I know you want to do it from the heart, and you can do it from the heart, but have a loose idea of what you're going to do. And I'm telling you, 3 minutes in or out. The worst thing ever, and I've seen some men do terrible best man speeches at weddings. I've been to enough. I also saw a father once read a 26-minute speech off of,
yikes,
like, multiple sheets of paper. I love that man, but that was rough. It was rough. But when you see a girl get up, and she's got, like, 4 pages of paper, the thing about Ashley is, let me tell you about a story that we have. And it's always just long and winding out featuring inside jokes. Nope. 3 minutes. Everything is relatable with everybody there. Get to the point. Land the plane. GTFO. And for Andre Johnson, a man of very few words, this is right in his wheelhouse.
Will he name all of his quarterbacks?
Possibly.
That's one of my biggest questions. And will he forget any? That threw him a touchdown.
I think maybe there is a drinking game involved here.
Ooh.
How often will he reference the Miami Hurricanes? They will definitely be referenced at least once.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback mentions, that ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
Schaub is going to get mentioned.
I think he's going to name all of them. I think he's going to thank all of them personally. Because it almost highlights his career and the challenges that, like, he went through.
You got to be careful, though, because you can sound petty and like you're a little bit bitter about your lack of great quarterbacks if you are listing all of them. It's almost like making a point of, like, hey, I did this all in spite of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an art to this.
Yeah.
You don't really want to piss anybody off. Remember when Michael Jordan had his speech and he kind of came off as petty and bitter?
Yeah. I can't wait for Tom and JJ when they go in together.
Oh, Tom's is going to be great. If you saw Tom's Patriots Hall of Fame induction, like, Tom's is going to be the best ever.
That is going to be the longest, because as Slopez here says on the Twitch, JJ's speech might need an entire ceremony. Nobody loves him some JJ like JJ does. The fact that JJ Watt and Tom Brady are going to go to the Hall of Fame the same year, it's going to be the longest ceremony of all time. I was at a wedding one time where I felt so bad for this girl. She was terrified of public speaking.
Oh, no.
But she also brought four pages up there. Mm-hmm. So it turned into a 25-minute speech because she had a hard time getting through it because she was so scared.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's not for everybody. I see Chalupa Batman commenting, I hate people who criticize speeches more than bleepy speeches. I'm sorry. I want to have a good time at the wedding.
Yeah, we're there for a wedding. We're not there for you.
And also, at the Hall of Fame speeches, listen, this thing is a long, long day if you're watching it, you know?
But I'm excited. This will be the first time I watch a Hall of Fame speech in years, honestly. I really...
Will you watch it live? Because I will not watch it live. I'm going to watch it Sunday morning.
Probably not, yeah. I'll watch it probably Sunday morning as well. But you know, obviously for Hester, for me, and for Andre Johnson, like watching those two guys get into the Hall of Fame this year is going to be really cool. And because it's just – unless there's a guy you watched or like was like a big part of like why you love football or fantasy football, like there's just – I lack that intrigue. So this will be the first time one I've watched in a long time. I'm actually excited for this.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We are at NRG Center for the Hunters Extravaganza. Come out, say hi on your way in to seeing all the goody goodies that you can purchase here to help you hunt those animals down. I see there's like a Lone Star advertisement up there. Hell yeah. You know, nothing quite like shooting some stuff with a Lone Star in your hand. Hell yeah, dude. You can be like that Turkish guy at the Olympics who's like pulling out a pistol. You got a Lone Star in the other hand. By the way, I'm kidding. I do not drink and shoot, okay? God, be a responsible gun owner. Up next, what is the minimum expectation for Yusei Kikuchi in his Astros debut tonight? Gallant and George, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
You'll hear Andre Johnson highlights all show long with him getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow. The Astros host the Tampa Bay Rays, big-time sellers at the trade deadline for three, with Yusei Kikuchi making his Houston Astros debut tonight. I found the Lisa Loeb song, Joe.
Good.
So now you'll hear it. And everybody else will hear what I so beautifully sang to you guys after the Astros made that trade on Tuesday.
You say I only hear what I want to.
It's been such a great song.
It's so relaxing.
You say
my ERA is 4.75 and it's kind of not good, but hey, I got really good stuff and I struck out people and they were swinging and they missed.
You say.
There you go.
I love it. Nice and calm and relaxing.
It's really, a lot of people weren't expecting her to go in the direction she did in that song where she, like, really current, talking about Yusei Kikuchi's ERA, but.
I know.
Yusei Kikuchi tonight, what's the minimum expectation? For me, it's get through six innings.
Yep, quality start, get through six, give up three or less. If you give up four through six, I won't complain too much. But whatever, you know, was going on.
But you will complain.
A little bit, yeah.
There we go.
A little bit. Just not too much. And there's a certain level of complaining, that's okay.
We have standards here.
We have standards. You got to meet them. Quality start is not asking a lot.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
No, it's not. He apparently has filthy stuff.
But, and that's what, like, can we see the filthy stuff where it's, and he just looks competent. You know, I don't know how much you can fix in 4 days from when you acquire him to when he pitches for the first time.
Correct.
I'm curious who's going to catch him tonight. My guess is it's not going to be Yiner Diaz.
I saw King of Twitch was dumping on Yiner Diaz for his performance on Wednesday in yesterday's Twitch chat.
I just wonder if because, like, he does have some flaws behind the plate. You know, you see why Frommer and JV in the past would want to use a veteran catcher. I wonder if in this moment, this is where you go, okay, Yordan's going to be in left, Yiner's going to DH, but we're going to have a veteran catcher in Victor Caratini to adjust him to this moment. Because this would be the first time Yiner Diaz probably has done, with a starter at least, has done something like this. Yeah, the Astros acquired guys at the deadline last year. They acquired JV. He didn't catch him. So now you're bringing in a new pitcher with new catchers, and I just don't know if Yiner is going to be the guy that you want to trust with that. So my that's just my guess is that Victor Caratini will catch him tonight. And as long as he just doesn't get, like, totally torched, we should feel a little bit okay. Because it's just the vibes are bad around the trade.
But what if he gets torched?
Then the vibes are going to be real bad.
Well, hang on. If he doesn't get totally torched.
Okay, how do I define?
You're right. We got to figure out where
definitions. Here.
Where is Take Island for Joe George? Because okay. We started off with, hey,
torched.
I'm going to complain if it's not a quality start. To you know what, it's not going to be that bad if he doesn't get totally torched.
Okay, torched.
That's a very wide range.
Okay, so torched will be five innings or less and high pitch count.
Okay,
and you gave up. He gave up at least four runs. Totally torched is going to be he doesn't make it out of three innings and he gives up more than six runs. Okay.
Man, torching means that he's catching on fire.
Torched in a bad way. They're torching you. Yeah.
I don't think you know what torching
is. The Rays are doing the torching.
I don't think you know what torch means.
Maybe not.
No, like in a torch, so a little medieval history lesson here. When warriors would conquer other villages. Mm-hmm. They have these torches. You know, there's generally like a lot of oil on them, so they would stay lit during the rain and such. And they would torch the home, which means they would burn it down to the ground.
Yeah, I think I'm right there.
If he's getting torched, he's getting absolutely smoked out there, to the point where yes, smoke is rising from the smoldering remains of that which was torched.
Okay, so that's like knocking out of the first inning.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
That's like a Framber Valdez meltdown.
Oh, don't need that.
Torching is an extreme word. And the reason I'm being such a stickler here is because you said, well, if he gets kind of torched, it won't be that bad. You're torched,
We got to have a conversation sometimes. If I say something you think it's like, Joe, you're an idiot, without saying, Joe, you're an idiot.
I didn't say it. I'm just saying I want a definition of what torching is out there, Jonathan. You say torch. Torching isn't that bad. I say torching means you're getting
very
smoldered.
Bad.
You say.
So don't let any of those things happen. Just give us a quality start tonight, please. Make everyone feel better about the trade. It will be funny. If he dominates tonight, and let's say he goes six innings, only gives up one earned run, but the pitch count gets kind of high, then it's going to be funny to see the online reaction and how everything changes so quickly. Like, you think, like, you say we go back and forth a lot. We are nowhere near what it is like on social media. People will be crowning this trade. Dana Brown's a genius. If you say is incredible to me.
I don't know. I don't think they'll be there yet.
I'm glad we have that on our show now.
I don't think they're going to be there quite yet. I think that there will still be some people who are Loperfido lovers.
Mm-hmm. Prospect huggers.
If you haven't seen this post, I referenced it on another show. I think it was yesterday. There's this post that somebody put out. I forget who. It's a great post. And it shows a picture of Jake Marisnyk. And it says, you are guilty, if you're upset about Joey Loperfido getting traded, of a middle school crush. You are guilty of falling in love with another Jake Marisnyk. Because we're talking dreamy guy with amazing defensive plays, but a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, we'll see how he does in his next game because he went 1-for-5, I think it was, in his first game. But that's what – people love Joey. It's the highlights. It's not. It's all of it. Like, he is exciting. And it's the 10 home runs he hit in Sugar Land.
With the way that you were talking about Joey's statistics as it was happening, you know, just criticizing men for their performance at work. By the way, that's our job. But I feel like you're going to be one of the first to say Dana Brown's a genius for this.
I don't know. I'm still not sold on the trade. If Kikuchi gets a playoff win for this team, I'll feel much better. If he gets, you know, signed to a one-year contract after this offseason, doesn't just leave in free agency, all feel better. I really still don't like my opinion has not changed about the prospects they've given up, they gave away. I don't think it's the end of the world. I know that like ESPN.com and The Athletic are putting out all these articles now about the best prospects traded at the deadline, and they have Lo Perfido and Bloss towards the top of that list. I just don't feel that way about Lo Perfido. Bloss, I'm more disappointed in just because he rose up so fast and you just drafted him. But it's not the end of the world.
Bloss, like, Lo Perfido bums me up because he played well. And, again, I am dumb football guy.
Baseball confuses me. Your sport's complex for me, a simple football guy. But
Joey Lo Perfido actually had some moments where I felt he belonged. But here we go. Here's a text from the 337. Joey K's. Hey. That's not cool. That's not a cool nickname.
I'm not the only bully on this show.
No. You can be with certain players, and I am generally the bully of the show. It happens. Text from the 832. A few games before we judge. I'm with you there. But from Stephen Hill on YouTube, at ESPN Houston, I want Kikuchi to prove me wrong about my reaction to this trade. It's not his fault they gave away so damn much. Yeah. And, you know, that's sort of how we should have felt, I think, about the Rafael Montero contract and the Jose Abreu contract. Obviously, both struggled, and it's easy to focus on their struggles, but it is the Astros who gave them those completely ridiculous deals when, with Jose Abreu, the back of the analytical baseball card, the metrics online suggested that some of his numbers were going down in terms of his, like, bat speed and power and all those things. And with Rafael Montero, the back of the baseball card suggested that he's only had one good year. Maybe you give him a one-year deal instead of a three-year deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not their fault, so don't boo this guy if he gets just ripped apart.
Boose.
Yeah, that won't be good. Sorry, I just put that in people's brains. If he struggles, he's now going to be called Boose.
Now we just need to like start telling people. Word of mouth, tell your friends, tell your family if they go to the game, just to start singing Yuse.
Yeah, do it.
And if he's bad, say Boose.
I'm not going to co-sign that.
You started it.
Boose. From the text, play Yuse and Chattahoochee back-to-back. No, I'd never want to hear Chattahoochee song again. That song is ear torture.
Is there any chance that you think he just reverts back? You've seen him more than we have. Like these roller coasters that he would go on.
He has great stretches from time to time. There's no denying it. He had one early in the year, and he had one early back in 2021, which was my first real Major League season covering the Seattle Mariners, and only real Major League season covering the Mariners. He was really good the first 2 months. He was an all-star. Mm-hmm. So he's capable of these things, but I do think that the Astros are a little bit of arrogant in thinking that they're going to be able to unlock it. And you know what? If they can unlock it, they're going to deserve a whole lot of credit. But I'm with the texters. It's going to take a few before we can take a look at Yusei Kikuchi and say to ourselves that this is going to be a huge addition down the stretch. Right now, it is an addition for the sake of need to eat innings and get you to the finish line because you are overworking your relievers. And you have overworked your starting rotation as it is, too.
Yeah, best case scenario here is that in a month and a half or 2 months, whatever it is, that we get to October and it's playoff time and it's ready for the ALDS and we're having legit discussions about who's getting the ball in game three after Fromber and JV. Like that's best case scenario is that Kikuchi comes in and he pitches so well that you guys have an honest conversation about him, Blanco, and Brown and who gets the ball in that moment and then again in the ALCS. That's best case scenario. Worst case is he's in the bullpen or not on the playoff roster because he just doesn't perform. And if it's that, it doesn't matter what the Astros do this season, the trade will be a disappointment. Even if they won a World Series, you would still look back on that trade and be like, well, he wasn't even an impact guy on the roster. But best case scenario is, you know, you're having meaningful conversations about where he belongs in the playoff rotation. So hopefully we start that with a good night. He should have an easier task. I mean, like you said, the Rays traded half their roster. And they kept Yandy Diaz, Christopher Morel, the guy they got, hit, I think, two home runs in his first game at third base for Paredes. So they're still not a terrible baseball team. They're, you know, they're not the White Sox, but you have the advantage over the next 3 days, and you got to win tonight's game.
And you have to win this series. You're better than the Rays. The Rays sold at the trade deadline. I know they have a record that's similar to yours, but you're better than them. It's time to get back into the habit of beating the teams that you're better than. You're better than Pittsburgh, too, and you lost two or three. You lost two or three of the A's. It's not been a great start to the second half. Obviously, they weren't going to be able to keep up that torrid pace that got them from 10 games back of the Mariners in the AL West to where they're at now, but let's get back to doing what they're supposed to do, which is beating teams that are on their level. That's how we get back to feeling like the Astros are the dreadnought once again. It is Gallon and George. We are at the Hunters Extravaganza at NRG Center. We're right outside the entrance. Come by and say hi on your way in. Coming up next, we continue to remember all that Andre Johnson did as he gets inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow. Gallon and George, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.